And greetings, friends around the world. Once again, this is Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God. I'm continuing here in the book of Matthew in a series we've started, expounding the verses of Matthew, covering almost every verse, but give you directly what Christ taught. He was God in the flesh. He was the light that God sent into the world, and we ought to do His will. We ought to follow what He said. Many say they believe on the Christ. They say how good it is to know the Lord, but they don't do what He said. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So let's listen to what Jesus actually said. This is His message. Last time we'd finished here chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount and started into chapter 6 about how you're to give your alms or do your charitable deeds in secret. You're not to broadcast it. You're not to try to show it off. And then in verse 5, He picks up the story. This is Matthew 6 and verse 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "And when you pray," notice, my friends, He didn't say, "if you pray." He assumed that Christians would be praying, and we should be praying, and we've got to be praying, or we won't make it into God's kingdom. You need to understand that. Many of you do not understand. But you should be praying on both your knees every day of your life. Learn to do that. "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." They like to show off, Jesus said, praying big oratorical prayers in church and all that kind of thing in public places. Don't be like them. He said in verse 7, "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words." We know of some people in various religions that just keep repeating and repeating and repeating things over and over like some sort of a oriental chant. Blah, 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 blah. If my little boy came to me, you know, and said, "Well, Daddy, I want a bicycle. Daddy, I want a bicycle. Daddy, I want a bicycle," I'd say, "Shut up, John. Talk to me like a human being. I'm your father. Explain to me why you want a bicycle, how you'll take care of the bicycle, why you can take care of it, how you can use it properly. Talk to me about it in a right way. Don't keep saying that thing over and over. God is our Father. He doesn't need us to keep blabbing the same words over and over. We're not trying to chant some kind of thing like that at all. We should not talk that like that when we talk to God, and yet millions of Christians do, and we're coming here to the Lord's Prayer, and millions of professing Christians even keep chanting the Lord's Prayer. They just go blah, 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 and repeat it, and a lot of them don't even know what it's talking about. They literally don't. We're going through it. Let's learn what it's talking about. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. He calls these people heathen. That's Jesus' words. They think they'll be heard for their many words. They think they'll be heard for saying certain things over and over again. Maybe you heard the story about the Tibetan prayer wheel. Some Americans went over to Tibet, and they found these Tibetan monks with these prayer wheels, and they had carved on the wheel a prayer to God, and they turned the wheel, and every time the wheel turned, the prayer was supposed to go up to God. So this smart aleck American, he hooks it up to an electric generator, you know, and here's the thing just turning and turning as though that God is pleased with that. That's ridiculous. Do you get the picture? You don't need to chant certain words over and over. That's exactly contrary to what Christ taught. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray you." He didn't say, take these words and repeat them over and over and over and over again. He said, in this manner. This is the overall approach. This is the pattern of the way you talk to God. Our Father in heaven. You start out recognizing that God is not just your Father. He's the Father of all human beings in a general, broad sense by virtue of being our Creator. And He's the Father of all true Christians because we have His Spirit and we're related to Him, our Father. And He is a Father. He's not just some omnipotent God, some powerful despot off in the sky. He's a Father. And a Father loves His children. And a Father has concern for His children. And God does for us. He's made us in His image that we can be like Him someday and bear His name, our Father in heaven. We can't be smart aleck with this God like we might be with our human father, although we should not ever, but human beings do. But this is a Father in heaven. His face shines like the sun. His voice is like the voice of thunder. rolling thunder across the Texas plains. This is the voice of God, yet he is our Father. Hallowed be your name. You should honor God's name. And in the Greek language, the word name meant everything. It meant everything about your person, your character, your goals, everything about you. And of course, that's what it meant in many times in earlier ages, even in the English language. A man who had two sons would say, sons, you quit running around beating up on old people and getting drunk. You're going to bring reproach and disgrace on our name. In a small village, everyone would learn about the Smith boys are wild and mean. It would destroy their family's income. It would destroy their reputation, everything about them. That's what the word name means. Hallowed be, honorable, worshipful be your name. Your kingdom come. Not stay somewhere, but may your kingdom come. God's kingdom, God's government, and the word kingdom means government, is going to come back to this earth. Jesus will come back. It tells us back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, that Jesus at the seventh trump will come as King of kings and Lord of lords to rule over the nations of this earth. He is coming again to this earth, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Thy kingdom come. May God's literal government be set up on this earth. How wonderful that will be when that is done, and the earth will then be at peace, and there'll be prosperity and joy and real peace of mind that we cannot experience today. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. May your will be done, not human beings. Human beings are all fouled up and selfish. We want God's will to be done, and we should pray for that on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're to ask for our daily needs. We're not to say, God, give me enough money and enough stuff, you know, for the next 50 years. He may not do that. We don't all need to be millionaires, but give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins, our mistakes, as we forgive our debtors. We have to forgive others, though, as he explains right after this, as you'll see. We must forgive others in order for God to forgive us. And do not lead us into temptation. Ask God not to bring us into sore trial, as this may be translated. We're to ask him not to be put to an unnecessary test or trial. We're weak. We need God's mercy. But deliver us from the evil one. Sometimes God has allowed some of his servants to be tempted by the devil. And, of course, we find that in the first chapter or two, especially the book of Job, a whole example of that. He said, you can go this far and no further, but God allowed Satan to strike at Job, causing him to have boils and blisters all over him, took his children from him, took every possession from him, took all kinds of things from him to humble him. And we're to ask God to help us learn the lessons another way, if we can, and if we're willing to. He says, please don't bring us into sore trial, but deliver us from the evil one. Satan was very real to Jesus Christ. He is a great spirit personality who rebelled against God and took one-third of the angels with him in that rebellion. He's alive and well today. Satan the devil is. You need to understand that. Jesus talked about a very real Satan, and you need to be aware of that. Deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the coming government, yours is the power to take care of all these things, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Pray, Jesus said, not repeating this prayer like some mantra, but pray after this manner. This is the approach to God. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. You see, you've got to forgive others. Learn to be merciful. Learn to be forgiving. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, wow, you say, what's he talking about? That's right. Most professing Christians have no idea about fasting. They're not taught how to pray. They're not taught how to study this book and drink in of it. They're not taught about fasting, but Jesus taught us about fasting, and all true ministers should teach their people about fasting. Fasting is abstaining from food and water. You turn back to Deuteronomy 9, I'm talking about a spiritual fast now. They could talk about an orange juice fast or fruit juice fast or a water fast or something. Well, sometimes that can help cleanse your body physically. But a complete spiritual fast is having nothing but air. No water and no food, certainly. Back in Deuteronomy 9, verse 9, Moses, who was a type of Christ, He was the great lawgiver, as he looked upon as in the Old Testament, as Christ is the New. He said, when I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, you remember the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the covenant, which the Eternal made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. For 40 days and 40 nights, no bread, no water. Remember, we just went through Matthew 4 a few programs back. Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He took nothing. And when Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, and God had to humble him and literally shake him to his toenails to get his attention before he would repent and became, of course, then a wonderful, powerful servant of God, what did Paul do when he realized that this must be God speaking to him? It humbled him, and he began to seek God. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight. God struck him blind, and neither ate nor drank. The Apostle Paul fasted spiritually 3 days and three nights. You see, no food, no water to get you down humble, to get you to where you can listen and realize how weak you are and you need God. And even the cells of your body, if you fast long enough, will begin to cry out for help. And that's the way Jesus was when he fasted, I'm sure. When you fast, be not like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Don't go around just acting humble or looking at the ground or something like that to show off to men. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, their reward, some others say, oh, what a humble man. He's fasting today, trying to show it off. But this doesn't mean, I want to comment, my friends, that when you pray, you've got to go and hide. He does tell us to go into a private room, certainly. But it doesn't mean you're to be ashamed. If your wife walks in on you, your husband, well, you know, they can just walk back out again. Or if there's an emergency, they can interrupt you. But basically, they should leave you alone if you're praying. You're not ashamed of prayer. I know my wife has often prayed when the children were little. She had to have them close by. So she just kind of hold their hands, and they'd have to sit there in the floor or play close by her while she was praying. And that's all right. She was concentrating upon God, but not showing off the little children. You don't show off the little children. I think you all know that. So it's not that you're hiding or ashamed. Jesus went forward and took three of his disciples that last night, so they watched and prayed. He went ahead a little bit further and prayed some more, but they must have been able to see him as he was praying. But he was up on the side of a hill, and he was not just right near them, so they couldn't hear his words, I guess. He was not hiding, but he was not showing off. And you're not to show off your fasting. But if you fellows, you might tell your wife if you're going to fast so she doesn't prepare some great big meal and then you say, well, I can't eat it. So you can let her know, or one or two others if you have to. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, shave and clean up like normal. Don't try to look some special way. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, or in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And that's the whole point, my friends. God will reward you. If you seek God by getting down on both your knees, and that's a good way to start your prayer, and the Bible shows that is the main position for personal prayer, on both knees, you bow one knee to a king, but you bow two knees before the King of the universe, Almighty God. And so you kneel on both knees, perhaps lift up your hands for part of your prayer. God is not in here. This is kind of an oriental thing. God inside of you. No, he's not inside of you. He's the creator sitting above the universe on his throne in heaven. So you may have your face and your arms like this as you pray to God, at least part of the time. You may get tired, you know, and get in various positions. But you can be that way a lot in your prayer. Talking to God with all of your being. Asking him to clean you up, to scrub you out, to make you like he is, that his will may be done in the world and in your life. And then you fast occasionally, seeking God and asking God to humble you, to clean you up, to help you get over your sins, and sincerely trying to get close to God by fasting. If you do these things, God will reward you, and he will, in the end, reward you openly. Jesus said so. So have faith in God, and let the living Jesus Christ live his life in you, in the way you carry out these things that Jesus taught us here, right in the Sermon on the Mount. That's it for today. We'll pick up next time where we left off. This is Roderick C. Meredith speaking once again for the Living Church of God.